GM, everyone. Welcome to another community AMA. This fine month of January 2025. Been a very exciting start of the year, hasn't it? A lot of shit happening. Very cool to see. And Lifinity has been doing quite well. Is also nice to see. Price is up a lot, both the tokens and flares. We have had some all-time highs in terms of volume as well as revenue as well as APY. And Solana has never been more dominant in terms of volumes and mind share and making a lot of improvement in terms of performance as well as like developer support. So like everything is looking good basically, which is pretty amazing. Yeah, so that's a summary what's been happening over the past month. But Happy New Year. I don't think I've had the chance to say that with my voice yet. So Happy New Year, everyone. Let's have another great year. All right, I'm going to get into the questions. So first one I have from Aza Rosso. Say, I tried to do some statistics of the APR for VE Lifinity. On average, it has 2x increased from 2023 to 2024. What has contributed to this increase? I mean, what actions by the team has contributed to it, and what has happened outside of the influence of the team that contributed to it? Yeah, so I would say there's two main things. In terms of what the team has done, the team has continued to optimize the pools and make adjustments in accordance with the current market conditions. This is something we've always done and will continue to do. And it does make a big difference. And sometimes those differences are very visible in the numbers or in the charts on our site. The past couple of weeks is a case in point. So there's that. And then the other thing is Solana has just had a lot more volume in recent times, mainly due to all the meme activity, but of course that contributes to, for example, Sol USDC volume, which is our main source of revenue by a large amount. So that's the other factor. Those are basically the two main things. There surely are other factors, but they're much more minor compared to those. So yeah. Alrighty. Oh, and then I guess because you asked in terms of APR. So APR is a function of revenue and token price. So token price has been going up, and that actually makes the APY go down. So the fact that we've increased our APR, the fact that we've increased it 2x, even while the token price has gone up quite a lot, means the increase in revenue is actually much greater than 2x. Yeah. Okie dokie. Next question. Ah, here we go. White Turtle Bill says, congratulations to the team and the holders for another all-time high. What are your thoughts on the Trump launch as far as it pertains to Lifinity's volume? Nothing too special. Basically, you know, it created a lot of volume on Solana, which tends to also increase volume for Sol USDC. Especially if the volume for the token, the new token that's generating a lot of volume, if it's paired with Sol, then that'll create some arbitrage opportunities, or especially when there's both SOL pools and USDC pools. There can be triangular arbitrage between, for example, Trump SOL, Trump USDC, and SOL USDC. And that will contribute to our volume. But also people just like buy SOL when there's a ton of activity on Solana. So that's basically it, I think. Yeah. So, I mean, probably nothing too insightful there, but yeah. All right. Glue04 asks, thoughts on RateX as a Sandglass competitor? In my corner of Twitter, they seem to have mindshare traction, and looking at their site, they have a variety of services as well as their own points program. As always, I appreciate you all on the team. Do. Yeah, so RateX is one of our main competitors. Actually, I would say they are the main competitor. I mean, there is Exponent, but yeah, besides, I don't know, like, they kind of pay USDC to get liquidity, which is going to be temporary, because as soon as you stop paying, like, liquidity will migrate. So they haven't seen too much activity, but yeah, RateX, they have the highest TVL. That's mainly due to, I think, SonicSol, which is like half or maybe more of their TVL. So currently I'm thinking, actually maybe I shouldn't, I shouldn't mention it, just for the sake of maintaining our competitiveness. let's see. So yeah, they also, like, on Twitter, they are certainly buying likes and retweets. If you look at some of their numbers, so that could be contributing to it. And yeah, they have a points program. Points programs are certainly, they certainly have an effect. The upside is that people will use you more, because all else being equal, if you're also getting points, why not go with the platform that's giving you the points? The downside is that points programs inherently carry a lot of risk. You're basically getting something from users in exchange for giving them something in the future, or at least that's the implication. And because of that expectation, if what you give in the future is not up to the user's expectations, then that could be the end of your protocol. So yeah, it's like it's basically a buy now, pay later from the protocol's perspective, where you're buying usage of your protocol and paying for it later. So yeah, so it makes sense that, like, they have the highest TVL. For us, so I mean, like, we could do the same, obviously, but we decided not to, at least at this time. A publicly announced points program, that is. Because there are those trade-offs. So yeah, right now we're still focused on just expanding our offering, adding new vaults, launching on other chains. Trying different things, seeing what works, see where the demand is, figure out what we should build next, see which types of vaults generate the most volume, which types of vaults attract the most TVL, things like this. So yeah, I mean, obviously we're thinking about competitors, we're not blind to that. But yeah, those are some of my thoughts, and not all of them. All right, next question is from Introvert Monkey. They ask, with DEX volume soaring and still increasing, What would happen to Lifinity's model if the majority volume of major trading pairs like SOL-USDC occurs on-chain? Does that mean price discovery occurs on-chain instead of off-chain, aka in sexes? Is that something concerning in the foreseeable upcoming years? Yeah, so this is something we've talked about from the start, I think, that our market making model is reliant on this balance between DEXs and sexes. We're getting our price from sexes, and the reason for that is because they have more volume. And actually, you've already seen like this play out for some of our pools where they started to become unprofitable simply because more volume started happening on DEXs instead of sexes. I mean, that's not always the only reason, but that certainly does contribute to it. So like an example where that's not the case is SOL-USDC, which if you look on DeFi Llama right now, the DEX dominance is 50%. So I mean, it'll vary a lot, but on average it's something around there. So like half of volume, total crypto volume, is on DEXs and the other half is on sexes. But that's not the number for every individual token, of course. So for example, like meme coins, much more of their volume is going to be on DEXs, and it's going to be 100% to start because they all start on DEXs. And because there's so much meme trading volume, like that's contributing to the DEX dominance stat being 50%. But yeah, it doesn't apply to like SOL-USDC, for example. Anyhow, there is this tendency or this trend that we're seeing where more volume is moving on chain. And like we ourselves are contributing to that. We have a lot of arbitrage volume. And if those arbitrage trades were not made through Lifinity, so like right now it happens through Lifinity and some other DEX. If we didn't exist, it'd be happening between the DEX and a sex. So basically, we're taking away that volume from sexes. And yeah, contributing to a dynamic where if it's taken to its extreme and 100% of volume is on DEXs, then we have no business model. So yeah, that's always been a possibility and it still is. But I don't know, it's like, I don't know how you can predict it. Like, I don't even know if like sexes will disappear completely and everything will move on chain. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Even if that doesn't happen, maybe sex volume just decreases so much that our business model becomes unviable. Maybe it doesn't. It's really hard for me to know the answer to that. It's going to be dependent on a lot of factors, I think. So, but yeah, it's certainly a possibility. All right, next question is from Swans. Any thoughts on JupNet and other moves by Jupiter? Impact on market take? Also, many thanks for all of your team's effort. Life-changing impact Lifinity is having on our family. Great to hear that. Yeah, JupNet, I didn't do a deep dive yet, so I don't have a great grasp. But basically, they're going multi-chain. But yeah, I'm not like 100% sure of the details of what that means exactly. But if it means like anyone on any chain can swap through Jupiter, it seems like that would increase our volume one way or another. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. Impact on market take, actually in a different channel, someone was asking about how there's the ultra mode for Jup now in their new beta. And that's the default. And that charges a 0.1% fee for Jupyter to like do all the settings for you instead of having to do it manually. And someone was asking is like, is that gonna affect our revenue? And the answer is probably not, or actually 50-50. Just because I didn't look into the details. It depends on whether they charge the fee on the input or the output. So if they charge it on the input, that means they charged it before the user's funds, the swap amount, reaches our DEX. So that means we'll have exactly 0.1% less than we otherwise would have gotten. Whereas if they do it after, or if they do it on the output, so after it's already gone through our DEX, then we're not impacted because Jupyter just takes it from the end result. So I don't know which one it is. So one of those, but like if it is, if it does decrease our revenue, it's just by 0.1%. And only for the people who use Ultra. So like it's pretty small. It's pretty negligible, I think. So yeah. And then the other moves by Jupyter, I mean, man, they announced like so much stuff. It's pretty insane. I can't remember everything right now, but the most recent one, maybe it was announced like less than an hour ago. I just saw that they're gonna do Jup buybacks with 50% of revenue. So that's cool to see. increase revenue, reduce supply. As the saying goes, I'm gonna make it a thing. But yeah, I mean, but yeah, that's cool, right? Like, I'm glad like crypto is moving in that direction, where it's like, I mean, there's a real business generating revenue, and it's returned to token holders in one way or another. Like, you just want to see more of that, 'cause like, it's like it just makes more sense to me anyways. So yeah, but I mean, yeah, Jupyter, very cool, very based, a lot of stuff they're doing, and like and that's great for the Solana ecosystem as a whole too. It just makes the like being in the Solana ecosystem that much better, just because Jupyter is like the default go-to DeFi platform. Yeah, like we get distribution through that, so yeah, overall it's very great. You'll love to see it. All right, next question is from Xerex, Xerex, Xerex. The vesting period for team members ends next year, and at some point, team members will likely have sold all their tokens. When that happens, what is making them continuing this project and then not abandoning it? Yeah, so two things. One is I would challenge the assumption of team members likely having sold all their tokens by then. Or even after. So just speaking for myself, I haven't sold any of my tokens that I've received for my team allocation. I lock them all, and that gives me a portion of the revenue each month. And that will continue on even after I stop receiving portions of the team allocation. So that incentive just goes on forever. And it's actually the same incentive you guys have to hold. It's like you receive revenue, so. So, like, in terms of like incentives, if you just look at it from a pure incentives perspective, like in terms of like what does the team do with its tokens, like we have the same perspective as you guys, where it's like, okay, I can keep holding and receiving revenue and also kind of speculate that price will go up, or I can sell and realize whatever its USDC value is right now. And I mean, a lot of you guys like to hold, right? And I don't need to tell you the reasons why. Well, like those same reasons apply to us as well. And, you know, I like the token, so I hold it. Let's see. And I think, like, I haven't done like any deep analysis or anything, but I think the majority of team allocated tokens are being locked, as far as I know. Yeah. So, like, if we want to keep receiving that revenue that Lifinity generates, well, we have to keep working. Let's see. Yeah, okay. So I think I answered that. Let me take a sip real quick. All right, White Turtle Bill follows up with, tagging onto this, is there a diagram or infographic that makes these monthly vesting amounts easier to see without having to do calculations or check the chain? Not that I know of, but it's actually like very simple. So like if you want to calculate it or like make a infographic in Excel or whatever, I don't think it'd be very hard. So I think it was 20 million tokens was the team allocation, and then that was vesting over 4 years with a 6-month cliff. And actually, normally the way cliffs are done is after the 6 months, the amount of tokens that would have vested during the first 6 months are just released all at once. And then they continue on releasing on a monthly basis. But actually we just decided to not do that initial large release and just release linearly over 3.5 years. That's 4 years minus the 6 months cliff. So yeah, they're just releasing linearly since inception, or like since they started to unlock. So 3.5 years, 12 months each. So if you multiply 12 by 3.5 and then have that divide 20 million, that's like the monthly number of tokens released. Yeah, so it'll just be like a straight line down, like very simple infographic if you want to create it. All right, next question. Epravano, I noticed the new Sol USDS pool. How's the pool's performance so far? And why did you choose to go with USDS instead of the other new stablecoins, such as USDY or SUSD? Are we expecting other Sol USD pools in the near future? Yeah, so this is something we haven't announced yet because I was coordinating with the Sky team. Sky is the rebrand of Maker, so, and they're the originator of USDS. You might know that they do like other incentives. I don't know of all of them, but I mainly know about how they have incentives for their USDS pool on Kamina for lending. So yeah, we reached out to them and we're like, would you be interested in doing a deal where you incentivize us to provide liquidity type of thing? And they said yes. So we launched a pool and it's getting incentivized. We just haven't announced it yet because we asked them if they want to do like marketing and stuff, and they haven't gotten back to us on that yet. Yeah, so anyways, it's like a market making as a service type of deal. And then the performance, the pool itself performs pretty well as well. So double yield, which is nice. I don't know if we'll do other pools. Like we mainly looked into this one because of the incentives. Yeah, if there are no incentives, It becomes less likely that it's worth the time, because there's like always so much else that we can be doing. So yeah, that's probably the main reason. And so I'm not sure if we'll be doing it with a lot of other ones. Probably depends on incentives, but also like how much liquidity is there in the ecosystem as well. That's another thing that makes USDS easier is because they're providing incentives elsewhere, which means there's more liquidity, which contributes to arbitrage volume. And so, yeah, there's that effect as well. All right. Next question is from just me, 123. Hello, huge thanks to the team and community for smashing so many records and pumping my bags this month. The question is, since Jupe price discovery is happening on chain and our Jupe pools have been inactive, at what point does it make sense to close the pools and stake that Jupe? Yeah, so the trade-off with that is if we stake it and then we want to begin using it for providing liquidity in the future, we can't. We have to wait a whole month. Or we just buy more Jupe for that. But if we're just going to buy more, then like because we're not an investment DAO, like we typically don't want to be like like seeking to do yield generating opportunities that are not a part of our decks. And I know like we already do that for Jupe, but yeah, this Jupe is like the reason we have this Jupe is because we have it for market making. And I mean we could do a thing where like every time we stop a pool, we sell the assets to USDC to just make sure like we have zero price exposure to anything unless we're market making for it. But that would contribute marginally more fees that we're paying because we'll go in and out of assets more often. But also, like, it's something we're not super concerned about right now because it's a bull market. So holding things is generally like not a bad idea, anyways. But yeah. So I'd rather not stake it just so if, like I said, like we do look at market making opportunities periodically to see if things change. So it's not like we've totally given up on Jupe. So I would prefer to have it as ready to be used for market making whenever we need to. Oof. All right. Next question is from Mr. Crush. Good day to do this on. Surprised more are not here. Maybe they were not aware. Would it be hard to figure out what a stake would pay over a year? Yeah, I think. If you mean like what's going to be the APY of holding the ELF Affinity for a year, then yeah, I have no clue. Because I can't project our yields into the future, nor can I predict the token price on which the APY depends. So I have no idea. The best you can do is look at the historical numbers and project according to whatever assumptions you have about how the Solana ecosystem will be doing in the future. You were more thinking of previous performance. I mean, if you're looking at the past, you can, just add them all up and average. And then you have an average for a year. Yeah, I guess if you did that, you would be ignoring token price, just like acting like it's. I mean, the APY incorporates the token price, so not exactly ignoring it, but yeah, I mean, it kind of depends like what question exactly are you trying to answer, or like what action are you considering whether to take or not. So hard to answer without the context, but yeah, you can just average it, and then you have What was the average APY for the year? Let's see. All right. Next question is from Benox. Oh, wait. Actually, Mr. Crash follows up with, you are shilling to people. That is, if you locked 1,000 up over a year. Oh, wait. I was thinking previous performance, more when you are shilling to people. That is, if you locked 1,000 up over a year. Well, I mean, if you're shilling to people, that means they don't have it, so it's not about past performance, right? I mean, you can tell them this was the past performance, but you can't tell them if you lock this much, you'll get this APY, because now we're talking about the future and you're just guessing. So, I mean, you can tell them this was the past APY, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the same for the next year. So, could be more, could be less. All right, Benox asks, how can I lose 100% of my asset on KY Soul? Yeah, so the KY Soul vaults are actually our points markets. If you look at the descriptions after clicking on one of them, the descriptions for YT, LP, and PT. You can see that YT gets just the points, and if there are token incentives, like there is for KY Soul, there's Jito incentives, you can get those too. So YT gets those things, but it loses, or like it gives up all of its principal, as well as the yield. Both of those go to PT. And so the P&L at maturity will show negative 100% on the YT, because that just means you've lost the principal and the yield. The part of the yield that is the native to the KY Soul. But you're getting the Jito tokens and the token incentives, in this case from Kairos. So like maybe that way of displaying information is suboptimal. The tricky thing is like points don't have a dollar value. It's entirely speculative. People are just guessing how much the points are going to be worth. So it's not obvious how we can show their value in the P&L. I guess one way we could do that would be to see what is the current rate, the current value of points that's implied by the market price, and then just apply that to the P&L. So assume that points are worth whatever the market is valuing them at. And then show your P&L on that. Actually, wait a second. If you did that, that might mean that you're. Actually, no. Yeah, that would work. Yeah, so that could make sense. But yeah, let me know what you think about that. And yeah, like Feely says, YT slowly decays in value as it approaches zero at maturity, because after maturity, it's not getting any of the points or Jito incentives. And PT slowly appreciates because it's approaching 1 KY Soul at maturity. Right. Next question is from Epromino, number 2. Will the USDS incentives be distributed in the monthly rewards, or will it be used for other purposes? For example, providing liquidity for Lifinity USDS on Meteora. Definitely not Lifinity USDS on Meteora. let's see. We only just started receiving the rewards. Actually, not even yet. I think tomorrow is the first day that incentives are released. But let's see, are we distributing them? We could do either. Honestly, like, it's not going to be a huge amount. Like, it's not going to change the APY, ABR by more than 0.1%, if even that. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, what did we do in the past? Like, when we had Lido rewards. I guess we distributed those, huh? Yeah, anyways, I'll check with Luffy on that, but either we distribute them or we add them to the pool. Yeah, probably one of those. The thing is, if we add it in the pool, it kind of compounds the rewards because the amount of rewards is based on how much USDS we have in the pool. They've designed their incentive system to work such that you try to get more USDS in your protocol for more rewards. But yeah. All right, and then number three, on the last balance sheet update, I noticed we have 1 million in JLP. Are we going to market make for it, or do we have other plans for the JLP? Isn't that the JLP in the in Sandglass? I think it is. So it is market making. Just in the yield market. All right, the Honey Badger asks, is there any marketing plan for a Sandglass? I use it a lot. I don't think wider Solana users are aware you can lock 30% on SOL on the points market, along with the other options like MSOL YT. In theory, the Kamino Multiply crowd should be flooding in as their APY has dropped since they removed the cap. Let's see. I was trying to think about how unstaking works on KY Soul. Because it's restaked, what is the unstaking period? I haven't looked into this yet. Anyone happen to know that? Because like if it's like a lot longer than staked SOL, which is like 2.5 days, then maybe that's the reason why they're not crowding in. It's because the greater risk. I mean, yeah, restaking does have greater risk, plus it's in Sandglass, which is currently undergoing an audit, but is not yet audited. Or even on RaidX, which I think is audited. But yeah. So I don't know if like that's the sole cause. But anyways, back to the point of this question. Whether we have a marketing plan. We've said before that we think marketing will be necessary. And of course, there are different forms of marketing. And we're already in touch with some like marketing avenues. But we also think timing is important. Right now, like I said earlier, our main focus is like having more protocol or vaults, and being on multiple chains. Because like if you do marketing when you don't have much to offer, then people might check you out just once and then never come back. And then I think, yeah, actually, never mind. The thing I just thought of was the same thing I thought of earlier, but decided better to not discuss. But yeah, I mean, so we do think marketing is necessary, but it's also a timing thing, so. All right, next question is from Mr. Crush. What I meant is, so we're back to how to talk about APY to people who are interested in Lifinity. So what I meant is, say I'm talking to someone at work and they mention like what happened Friday, that they hold Sol, etc., and we get into a conversation. It would be nice to quickly show them an example. For instance, being able to say, well, if you locked $1,000 a year ago, you'd have gotten X back. Just a quick way to spark interest and show the potential for anyone curious about putting money into us. So maybe the community linked tool could go back further. Sorry if my earlier question wasn't clear. It's been a noisy house today. All good. I guess I would suggest like just show them the monthly revenue channel that we have, and then you get to see the APRs for each month, and you can kind of get an idea of the variance that they might see. They can also see how much revenue is changing and also the price of Xlifinity, how that's changing. So it gives you a much more holistic view. If you want to give them a single number, then again, just like add 12 months worth of APRs and divide it by 12. And there's your number. If you want to show them something visual, then I mean, you can use the monthly revenue channel, I think. Seems useful. And I mean, you know, APRs are annualized percentage returns. So even if you just show it for like 1 month, you can say, so if this month happened 12 times, then you would have got an APR of this month. So yeah, up to you, but I don't think we're going to be making anything like a new stats, right? Like does a 12-month simple moving average anything. Gaius says, such a tease. Gaius, it's good to have you back. It's been a while. Maybe you've been lurking, but good to hear or see you chatting recently. Mr. Crush says, if this much happened 12 times in a row, oh my God. Yeah, the last few months have been really nice for us. We'll see if Solana has legs to keep it going. Man, Solana ecosystem, so much exciting stuff. So crazy to think when you think back to like after the XTF FTX crash and we're at $8. Like, damn, so much happened since then. Yeah, the tech was good. The tech is actually good. That's my conclusion. All right, any more questions, guys? Shall we wrap it up? Mr. Crush says, what's your thoughts on all the locked Sol that unlocks in February and March? I have no opinion, basically. I think unlocks are usually non-events. I don't know. Actually, I could be wrong. I don't know. Like, 'cause I usually don't pay like super deep attention to all the unlocks of all the protocols. But in my working memory, they are usually non-events. And I feel like with Solana doing so well recently, there's even a greater reason for it to be a non-event. If Solana's doing well, that means people's expectations of how it will do in the near future are also good, which means a higher probability that unlocked tokens continue to be held. In other words, more people think that Solana can go higher, so they don't feel a need to sell it immediately. But yeah, obviously there can be many other factors, like the people receiving these tokens might have like, because some of them are like institutions, so they can have their own institutional reasons for having to take profit or whatever. Yeah, these unlocks, I think, are pretty well known. Gonna ban this little bitch. Goodbye. Live ban, let's go. So I have no strong opinion. I don't know what's gonna happen. But yeah, these unlocks have been known for a long time, and they're, commonly used to FUD Solana. So like, I think it's fairly reasonable to think that a lot of it is priced in already anyways. It's possible that some people may have like sold already through perps to like try to be delta neutral. Like buy the discounted tokens, sell the perp, and that kind of thing. Yeah, no strong opinion, but I don't know. I'm not like terribly concerned about it. All right. Yes, okay, Makisu. Are you or Maxiu, sorry. I read that in a Japanese way. And then did we have this conversation before? I feel like we did. You're a PFP, it looks like. Oh, this is so weird. I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, but it totally reminded me of Makise Kurisu, which is a character from a Japanese anime with red long hair. Anyways, Maxiu, this is such a noob question, but can you tell me why I'm not earning an APY? Let's see. Well, in the image you have, you are holding VELifinity, so you are earning. If you, when did you lock, by the way? Your rewards will be released on the 25th of each month. 1 week ago. Okay, let's see. If it was, do you mean like exactly 1 week ago, or is this approximate? Because the deadline for the revenue being distributed on the 25th of each month is the 21st. So if you locked after the 21st, then it makes sense that you didn't get anything this month. But everything, oh, you got it. blocked 22. Oh, on the 22nd. Yeah, so you won't receive anything, or you didn't receive anything this month because that's already past the date. But you have been generating revenue from the 22nd. We're taking hourly snapshots. So on the 25th of the next month, in February, you will get revenue from the 22nd to the 21st. Did I get that right? Or maybe the 20th. 22nd to the 20th? Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so you're all good. You're all good. We are taking snapshots in the background, so. Cool. Anybody here watch Steins Gate? Classic? Nobody. What a shame. Missing out. All right. Well, if there's no more questions, are there any more questions? Mr. Crush binged Slow Horse the last 2 days. Recommend that. I never heard Slow Horse. I watched Pachinko recently. It's about a Korean family. During and after the Second World War, but in Japan. All right, cool. Well, I guess I will see you in the trenches, maybe. Thanks everyone for the great questions. And Smitten, thanks for always doing the sound check with me. Great to all see you all here. And have a great rest of the day. Peace out.